Hey everyone, welcome to the Horror PSA presented by Scary Nerd. And as always, we are your hosts. I'm Paul.
I'm Saul.
And I'm Angie.
The following is a public service announcement.
After being abducted by a child killer and locked in a soundproof basement, a 13-year-old boy starts receiving calls on a disconnected phone from the killer's previous victims. That's right, we watched the 2021 film The Black Phone. I absolutely love this film.
I thought it was 2022.
IMDb says 21. It's probably one of those things where it did festivals in 21, was wide released in 22. I mean, who the fuck
knows? I think that's what it was. But yeah, I'm with Paul. I love this movie.
Oh, yeah. This is a classic now.
Yes.
It's got the Halloween feel. This is going to be a very frequent view.
I can never, like, not watch this movie. Like, there's never a time where I'm like, you know what, I don't feel like watching The Black Phone. Like, I could watch it anytime. It's great. I want to say that this whole film is a masterclass in filmmaking, from the casting to there's a lot of films that, like, will be like, like, this line was stupid, or like that, like, I can't believe this, like that, like that, just like little things that stick out to you. Like, this film doesn't have that for me, like, at all. Like, this is one of the films that I'm like, I truly, this is a masterclass in filmmaking.
I loved Ethan Hawke in this movie. To me, he was the best person to play this character.
Oh, yes.
Because when you think Ethan Hawke, you really don't think horror movies or anything like that. But this, with him being in it, he was awesome. He was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, you don't usually see him as a villain. And so,
that's what I meant more so. You don't see him as a villain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes it just that much more. Because I think the whole ensemble of everyone that was cast in even some of the kids, because, like, these kids are really, like, Robin, I love that kid,
the,
like,
sister
Vance, like the sister and the brother, like,
the sisters, they're amazing. Okay,
when we get to some more of those scenes, I'm like, the scene with the two of them and the dad when, like, she's getting beat, I'm like, that is a masterclass in, like, trauma acting from all fucking three of them. Like, it is just so good. There's no, like, you can't teach that. Like, that was just pure, like, just magic. Like, that
you've
happens.
You've been there before.
Know? Like,
it's like you've been,
like,
there
any before. Like, I think everyone knows, like, any fucking kid that's been in an abusive house knows, like, the signs, like, tread lightly in the morning. Like, the opening shot of their house is three beer bottles and a box of cereal when we get to meet Finn's family, basically.
Yeah. And before we get too far into it, I will agree that this film is amazing and a masterclass and all that, but it's not without its quirks. That the CGI rope that they use every time, I'm like, oh, why could you not use a CGI rope?
The one thing that so let's just start at the baseball game, right?
Oh yeah, and I love the baseball game because it's the perfect way to open a 70s movie. Like,
beer and baseball. You got someone opening Coors, and then you've got, you know, the baseball happening. Like, even though it's like, you know, this is a small town or whatever, because it's like they're drinking at a kid's baseball game.
Yeah, it's a small town outside. Like, they're all out there watching, like, a baseball game.
Spring is in the air or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll have to say one thing that, you know, in the baseball scene when they start the film, see Robert Cargill mentioned on Twitter, because somebody brought this up. They were like, why did you guys use CGI for the baseball when he's throwing, when Finn's throwing to Bruce? And I guess they were like, that was the last day we could film there, and it was kind of a cloudy day, so we were afraid we weren't going to get any of the shots off, because we thought, we don't know if it's going to rain, you know, that kind of thing. So they just filmed it, and they were like, we'll just have to put it in CGI, because, you know, you can't always make the baseball do what you want it to do.
See, I didn't even pick up on that. I didn't pick up on really any of the CGI.
The ones that got me was the rope. I just could not see it on the rope. I was just like,
yeah, because I always think, too, I'm like, okay, why would that work? I'm like, I mean, it's not really a rope. It's like a thicker cord, because I was looking at it, too.
Yes.
I'm like, it's a thicker cord, so it has a little bit of rigidity, so maybe it would stay upright enough for you to just slide it all the way or whatever. But I'm like, I don't know. But my thing was like, then why couldn't you just crawl up it? There were more than one rug. Like, they had the really long one, and there was a couple other smaller ones. Like, why not stack them up, and then you just kind of crawl up the window, like, that you just broke the,
like,
thing.
Like, lean them up where you have,
That's the thing, leaning up against the wall, and they just, like, crawl up them. Like, the fucking, like, the fair games, like the monkey crawl thing, or you got to do for the ring the bell and get a bear or whatever, right?
Now, the thing that I do have to ask, it might be because it's set in the 70s and they had a different standard of everything else, but if you have somebody that is abducting children, why is there no more police presence?
Nope, you just hope, you just put it on the news and hope for the best.
No, okay, and if you watch any documentary or anything about kids getting abducted or anything, we watched this whole, like, I think 3, 4, or 5 seasons of this show called Disappeared on HBO, and no, it was one of the other channels that HBO owns now, but it's all about, like, crimes where people get abducted or they go missing or whatever. And no, like, because think about, like, I know we've said it before, that's why serial killers could kill in one city and then go to the next city and kill someone.
And they didn't even know
that there were crimes were connected because they didn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. Like, oh, well, it probably won't happen again.
Well, I get that. But from what I get from the movie is it was happening in just this small town. And, like, when.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, when, yeah. I know. And I was like, how hard is it to find one black van?
Well, I mean, did they even know?
Well, I guess they didn't put out anything about the black van.
Did they know about the black van, though?
I don't think they knew about the black van.
Because I think the only thing they said was, like, we found the balloons, and that's how they get to Gwen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think they knew about the van. But I think, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. There's, like, some of these things make it seem like it's a real small town, but then other times it's not. Because doesn't he say, like, we're with the Denver PD?
Well, it is supposed to be Denver,
But I'm like, it's a suburb of Denver, obviously. It's Denver, but it's like, in
1978.
Yeah, it's 78. So, I mean, I don't know. Everything kind of feels like a small town in the 70s. Like, well, I wasn't alive then. So, I mean, population, I don't know.
I love the setup that goes just straight from the baseball game to Bruce being taken. Yeah. Like, that whole, like, intro is just, like, a perfect setup. Yeah,
that was such a good intro and such creepy because you see him walking, everybody doing their normal thing, and then all of a sudden you see the van. And it's one of those things you're like, yeah, something bad's about to happen. And then you cut to
just the shot beautifully.
And then you
get that. You get the impending doom. And the fucking
dread.
The predatory, like, slow creep of that van. Like, and then it cuts to, like, that montage of other stuff that I'm like, it's a mix of, like, what they did in Seven in the opening credits. And, like, an Unsolved Mysteries episode, I feel like. But, like, a 70, sure. like a
Maybe
version from 78.
That's why we love this movie so much, because it's such, like, Unsolved Mysteries. We're like,
it totally is.
That's what I was about to say. It reminded me a lot of the Unsolved Mysteries intro. Also, the other thing it reminded me a little bit, too, was The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing, like, all the things, like, deteriorate.
Yeah.
You're seeing
the stop motion kind of, like, jittery kind of stuff that looks for that. Yeah.
Also, this has kin to Walking Dead is Finney cannot catch a fucking break. Like, that poor kid. I'm like, this kid just needs a hug. He needs, like, he's got the best sister in the world, and maybe that's what God in this universe is fucking with him for. He's got the bestest sister in all of the land.
His sister is amazing. She is an awesome little sister.
And he's got the bestest best friend, too. Like, Robin was a fucking hard ass.
See, okay, so let's get to that, because then I wrote down, Bruce is like the 70s fucking Devon Sawa of this town.
He really is.
He was just like, everyone's like, oh my God, it's Bruce.
Oh my God, it's Bruce. Hey, I was one of the ladies in the 90s.
I want to suck his dick.
I was like, look at Devon Sawa. Look at Casper. Look at that man.
We get to school and
saw his butt in Now and Then when I was a kid. And I thought that was just like, oh my God. And I was like, yes. Anyway,
now he's an old man like the rest of us.
He keeps dying on Chucky,
and that's okay. I'm like, you know what? I'm enjoying this new era of Devon Sawa.
call and tell them to renew for season 4.
Seriously,
look it up. There, it's a fun show.
Did you call the number?
No, I haven't yet.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He answers it and he says a little spiel, and then they tell you to text the phone number.
Nice.
And then you get another text message.
Mm.
Nice. Okay. Well, everybody do it. We'll figure that number out at some point. But so, when Robin is taunting Moose, I gotta say, always confront your bully. Because even if they win, they'll think twice before fucking with you next time.
Yeah, they know.
So will everyone else.
The thing that I loved about that circle is, you know, they're about to fight. The thing that I did not see coming was the roundhouse kick.
Hey, man, he loves Bruce Lee. He did. All right. It was the 70s. He was into Bruce Lee.
And Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The roundhouse kick I did not see coming that knocked the guy on his back and he just started wailing
he
on him.
He did, and I thought it was hilarious that Finney walked away. Like,
see, I love that because it's a very, like, it's a simple way to story tell and show who Finney is. Like, he's, I don't want to say like he's meek, but he's like, he's kind-hearted and he's like, okay, he didn't, because he was like, no one deserved that.
Yeah, no one deserved
that. Because even Gwen, he's like,
he knows what it's like to be hit.
No, so. He was like, remember when he gave you a bloody nose lash? Chair, like, because like, yeah, Gwynnie's like, Gwynnie has no filter when it comes to anything. I love the bag. If we had a daughter, it would be Gwynnie, basically. I feel like, because when, especially when she's like, you stupid fucking fart knockers, I'm like, that would be my kid if I had fucked shit.
Yeah,
basically, our daughter, like, dumbass, I'm the grabber, like, because even she was like, remember when he beat your ass last year, like, he deserves that, you know, like, but no, Finney's like, he doesn't deserve that, nobody deserves that.
He's like, yeah, I was there, it was happening to me, so yeah,
but even Robin has his own, you know, reasoning for that, which is valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his point. So I'm like, you know what? He can justify it as well.
I will say that I also love about this movie is that they fucking cast actual teenagers to play teenagers, because when all of those boys are in the bathroom, I'm like, who are these babies thinking that they're gonna fight? They all just need hugs and told that they're loved, and then they won't be so angry because they're just such little babies. I was like, oh, I love that they actually cast teenagers.
Okay, I do have to say something that kind of did stick out to me and I thought was random. So when they're walking to school and Gwynnie is having that conversation about her friend
Potsy,
well, she was like, how would you choose Potsy over
anybody that would over, want to marry Potsy?
But then she says, I would rather marry Bonaducci. I'm like, what? That's even worse to me. Like, I'm like, who picks Bonaducci? Like, were there little girls in the fucking 70s? Like, apparently, oh my god, so. Because I know the other dude, the older brother, was it Cassidy or something? I know the older brother in the Partridge Family,
I have no idea about
he was like
family.
The teen beat dude, like, because he was older, right? But Bonaducci, I'm like, he's like a 12-year-old. Like, were there, I mean, I don't know, maybe
was
he's younger
the redheaded
than that.
One?
He's the really young, super okay. That's why I'm like, Bonaducci versus Potsy, they're both gingers, but I'm like, how do you pick Bonaducci? Were there really people?
So you're saying either way they're soulless, so what's the point?
Yes, I'm like, okay, but Potsy's better, the better soulless one, I guess, is what I'm saying.
You forget, this is the 70s, this is before we were born.
I'm saying, is that a thing where there are little girls, like, were there people's moms today that are like, oh my god, here's my Potsy poster, like, here's my Bonaducci poster. I was
if
so
that's
in
your
love
mom,
with him.
Please email us. Like, reach out.
Please take a picture. Please take a picture of your mom's sex paraphernalia from the 70s.
Not that I'm defending it, but the way I'm justifying it is.
What poster does your mom have?
I don't know.
Vicente Fernandez.
Probably. But the thing is, like, you got to remember to justify it. Look at it 20 years ago. Someone like Justin Bieber, you had girls that are like, oh, I want to marry him, but now you see what he turned into. So it's like, how can you justify that?
But
he announced he's having a baby today.
What world are we living in? Right? Yeah, they're having a baby, and I'm like, and they renewed their vows. And immediately I said in my head, yeah, because that'll fix it.
But yeah, but like I said, think of it that way. So think of it like 20 years ago, or like for them.
Okay, but Justin Bieber was at least a cute kid. Like, I could look at fucking Bonaducci or Potsy and be like, you guys are not good looking. And I'm sorry to those. I mean, Bonaducci, he grew up to be, you know, a handsome dude, all right? But I'm saying, as a child, you got to be like, if I was an ugly kid, I could admit, I was an ugly kid.
Yeah.
Anyone could, right? Yeah. Like, there's pictures to prove. I can't deny how ugly I was as a kid. I mean,
it's a weird time in your body's life, man.
It is.
You're googly, you're gangly.
And being forced on the spotlight or whatever, you know, in front of the cameras, I'm sure it makes it even worse,
that,
right? So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not bagging anyone. I'm just saying, you know, it's all in good fun, Potsy.
He's just wishing Gwen had better taste than
I just
men.
Wish this fictional character in this.
She didn't have much of a choice in the 70s, though. That's the other thing you gotta remember.
No, wait.
It was who was on TV? It was that or
it
the Brady
78.
Bunch?
When did Elway get to the Broncos, right?
83, I think.
Because that's what everyone's dream. That was their dream boat at that point, right?
Yes.
If you grew up in around Denver in the late 70s, please let us know what it was like back then.
Yeah, and see, I was in the Devon Sawa era. So.
See, I mean, and we get that. And I get what you're saying, like that was our generation's version of that, because Devon Sawa. But again, sorry, Bonaducci.
I get what you mean, though.
Devon Sawa's a better looking kid, man.
Oh, my God, him and Little Giants, the cutest.
Oh, this is not the fucking Devon Sawa podcast. All right.
The fact that he's doing more now is just...
Okay.
The thing that I do got to talk about, though, is the beginning of it, where you realize how tense of a household it is. Because we talked about it a little bit when they're waking up, and the dad is sitting there in front of Vinny, and he's like, could you chew any louder?
I don't think they heard you over in Long Hall. What do you think?
Boulder.
And then when the sister comes down, and then I didn't know there was such a thing. Again, this is like completely different.
A bread box?
I didn't know there was a bread box. I never had a bread box. Yeah.
This was the 70s.
Yeah. 70s. My grandma might still have a bread box. I'm not going to lie.
Your grandma's kitchen looks like it hasn't changed since the 70s. There may have been a bread
box. No, it has not changed.
There may have been a bread box. I think I saw one.
But I do. But the other thing about it, though, too, is like Jeremy Damies, we know him from a bunch of other stuff. So it was kind of hard for me to take him serious as the mean asshole dad.
But he does it so well.
Yeah.
Well,
and all I can think of is he's just processing his trauma from World War II.
See, I immediately think that's my second thought. Immediately, I'm like, Twister, because he was scared in that movie.
He was terrified in Twister.
Because she had to be like, get up, get up. No, okay, let's go. And like, she had to talk him
you
into it.
You need to go.
Like,
you
you're going
to
die.
Get
up
car.
And come with me. Now, okay. And then, then World War II. So, I'm like, and then his wife dies. So, that's a lot of trauma.
His wife? Oh, yeah, from this movie.
From this movie, yeah. I think what made this movie really great, and I think is specifically for him as well, there's a lot of great character actors in these movies.
Yeah.
He is one. Like, he's definitely made a career out of playing, different characters. He's always been a supporting member, and he's been great in everything. And I think he was a good choice for that dad, even though, like you were saying, I picture this other guy, or I picture this, but I think he knocked it out of the fucking park.
He did an awesome job, but again, initially, I'm like, because the only major name that I knew about the movie was Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
So then I saw Jeremy Davies' name on it. I'm like, what's he in this movie? And then when I saw the dad, I'm like, oh, there he is. And all I could think of was the nerdy scientist from Lost. But then that all goes away when you see him actually put the performance that he puts forth.
Yeah. Yeah, that scene, the beating scene between Gwen and the dad is so realistic that it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It is like I said, that is like a masterclass in trauma acting. And I think, and the best compliment I think you can give to something like that in film is to be like, that, took me back to my own childhood, or like someone who's been that. Because I've heard that they use the Normandy Beach scene in Saving Private Ryan as like a training tool in the military to be like, this is what war is like. Yeah. This is the most realistic depiction of war.
Yeah.
And it's like, people that have been to war like that, that said, that's what it's like.
Flashbacks.
Yeah. So if you make something so realistic that people that have lived through that traumatic event are like,
that is real
to me. Like, you cannot tell that they're acting. Like, when he is beating her, like when she is fucking just bawling, when she does that, it'd be like, fuck you. Like, that is every fucking,
we all did that.
That is every traumatized kid that got beat. Like, any kid that was abused, like, you had that moment, you're like, I'm gonna stand up and I don't give a fuck if he beats
me. It was always worth it. Always worth it.
No, and then just when he makes it here say it a third time, she's like, my dreams. I'm like, yes. I'm like, she's still got that fucking defiance. Like, I'm gonna say it, but
that last one was a fuck you.
Yes.
That was a fuck you.
And I love that. Yeah. Like, the emphasis, like, that's just those little fucking things just made it so realistic for anyone watching that. Like, that does live through that shit.
And then the thing about him, too, saying the little things about it is like, they came to my work and why are they asking me questions and all this? Because obviously, you go back then, dad usually is the breadwinner. And if he's getting pulled aside to do something else, it's like, you're taking me away from doing my job.
Well, and I think at that point he knew that the cops came to talk to her about her dreams, and that set him off about his wife on a mat.
Yeah, it kind of made it seem like he was like just wanting her to admit it or say it out loud that that's the reason. Because I'm sure the cops were like, well, she told us that she had a dream, or she heard this, or blah, blah, blah. Assuming they talked to the dad after they talked to her is what I'm assuming, so.
I love that the dad is just on a weekly Friday night binge. He's just like, you know what? It's Friday. I'm going to drink $8 worth of scotch, apparently. Isn't that what he said?
Beer.
It was an $8 bottle of whatever.
$8? Is that a lot?
That's what he said. He was like, that was an $8 bottle worth. I was like,
That's why.
You can't get anything for $8.
That's like when he would stay over at her friend's house.
Oh,
yeah. Like, I don't want to deal with
that. That's the beaten kids
that's
special.
That's the beaten kids thing.
As you get out of the house.
You have food and no one's going to get drunk and beat me. I'm going to stay at your house again.
And if you had a friend that had really good parents, you got breakfast in the morning. Oh,
yeah. Like when you stay over, like, let's just say like a bad parent's house, like you sleep on a couch or something, and the other one's like, oh, they have an extra bed for you,
right,
like pajamas, and they make breakfast. It's like, what is this?
They have a drink
fridge.
I want
to stay over to his place because I can sleep on another bed instead of the floor.
Yeah.
Or sad childhoods.
I love in the bathroom scene that Robin's like, oh, excuse me, guys, let me just wash off my bloody knuckles that I just cut off of Moose's fucking teeth. What are you guys doing in here?
I know. It's like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? And the whole, like, I love that Finn had such a diehard friend because, like I said, clearly,
I thought
he didn't have much going for him, but what he had going for him, he had a small but loyal pack. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was I thought Finny should just, like, when they were in, like, what are you doing in the toilet? He'd be like, I'm taking a massive shit, guys. Like, just, you know, can you come back later? Like, it's worth a shot. Like, you know, I mean, obviously.
That was the first time, and
we knew it was gonna happen.
And I think the reason that I'm so thankful, and I really appreciate that they used actual teenagers, is because him hiding, I was like, that is a child. Like, it pulled at my parental like heartstrings. I was like, he is just a little scared baby.
It doesn't pull you out of the moment that it's like some 20.
It makes it worse. Yeah, like it makes it realistic. Yeah. It makes it terrifying for that child. And like, that's why you use, you know, they didn't have to put him into any traumatic scenes. You know what I mean?
And
like,
he's
a heavy film. It's a acting.
And he's acting with other children, so it's not like traumatic to be like, I'm acting with this man who's gonna, I mean, obviously, you know, he's got the scenes with Ethan Hawke later, but I mean, that's, you know,
but again, even that aren't too terrible as far as like content wise, you know what I mean, acting. What
I made a joke in the scene where they're in class still that Finney's got a pocket rocket.
He did.
He loved
it. And her name
rocket
is Donna. Uh-huh.
It lit up and everything too.
It did, and it helped him a lot. Oh, it was very useful.
I wrote down, like, I feel like when you see all the kids that the grabber has gotten, like, you see a little bit of their backstory, you see a little bit, like, some of them, you see how he abducted them or whatever.
Yeah.
I felt like you would probably have to vary your, like, routine up a little bit. Because, obviously, dropping the groceries, I'm like, oh, do you need help, sir? It's going to work on someone like Finny, you know, probably Bruce or whatever, you know, like, because they're nice kids. And I'm like, Vance wouldn't have gave a shit. I'm like, you have to be like, hey, kid. Like, hey, kid, you want to buy some weed or you want to buy the stereo?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm curious out of all of them how he got him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, that's the one. I'm like, it had, like, to have been a struggle.
The paperboy's obvious. Like, he just scooped
I think,
him up.
I think they showed that one. He just kind of just drove up and, like, excuse me, and just grabbed him real quick. Because I'm like, yeah, you could see some of those.
Because,
like,
he really didn't have to try for the others, but him, he's the one that I'm interested because.
Yeah,
because,
like, the other one, not the paperboy one, I can't remember.
Griffin, maybe?
Griffin, yeah.
He sounded kind of young.
Like, it went, like, you know, it seemed like it went harder and harder. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they got bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
With the boys he took.
Well, I don't know, because obviously,
we don't know the timeline of which he took Bruce.
I think it was Robin was the most recent, and Bruce before that. So then, after, you know, before Bruce, we're not sure if it was Vance or whoever. But I mean, Vance obviously would have presented the most difficult time to, you know, get him there or whatever. So I'm like, that might have been a middle one. They're like, I'm going to get a little smaller kids now. Like,
I know.
He probably realized, shit, this one was a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
And I wonder too, like, it seemed like it was really like his dormant period as the serial, you know, kidnapper and murderer. Yeah. Speaking from my high level of knowledge of FBI stuff. Like, it went really quick. Like, he kidnapped Robin, and then, like, within a week or two later, it was
Finny. I didn't see the Robin one coming.
Yeah?
I did not see him coming, that they were going to take him. Because I figured he was going to take another kid, but I didn't think it was going to be Robin. Because to me, it's like they established that Robin is kind of like a badass or a tough guy.
Yeah.
Or a tough kid, because he beat up the bully. So I was thinking, okay, maybe he may not go after him because he actually fought back. But even Robin says that there's somebody always bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, like, I would love to see his too, because I mean, he would probably put up a fight as well. I mean, unless it was something that completely caught him off guard. Like, that's the only way you're getting someone like Vance or Robin.
Yeah.
But it has to be like some, like, completely. Obviously not like, oh, I dropped my groceries. Can you
Because you can kind of, like, well, you see, it was weird because I don't know why, but it looked like he was in the back of a supermarket or a store.
Yeah, he'd be. Like yeah. He was parked back there, and it was probably something like Robin's, like, I just take the shortcut to get to the store or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the thing that I did notice when he came out, and he was like kind of in that full magician kind of type gear, yeah. And that's probably how he lured him in, by doing the magic tricks.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to be something. It was something super like, hey, kid, do you remember this address? And then he just fucking drugged him real quick.
Yeah. So I mean,
kids are stupid.
The kidnapping scene is brilliant because it's so quick. It's just, it's literally like a snap.
What the hell was he spraying in his mouth?
I don't know.
It's got to be.
And it was something in the eyes, too. I think he went for the eyes and the mouth.
Well, it's got to be something like that, like, incapacitates him, like it knocks him out.
Yeah, because he just kept like spraying. He sprayed him in it, and then all of a sudden he just threw him in there and let the balloons go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something he has to inhale, and he'll just, I mean, I don't know what the gases are.
Yeah, and well, Finney got in the cut with his pocket rocket.
He got his licks in.
He did get a little bit in. But one person who also put up a hell of a fight was Gwen.
Oh, yeah, that was what I was going to talk about.
Yeah, when those other little boys come after well, Robin gets taken.
Yeah, they didn't realize he didn't have his protection, and that was hilarious.
I love
cocksucking cowards.
No, okay. So here's the thing. In the scene after Gwen gets beat, and I wrote down too, like, just like an abusive household, the dad's like, no, go watch TV. Like, you're just supposed to drop it and be like, all right, we're done now. Don't bring this up anymore. I don't want to hear you crying about it. Like, we're done. Now go watch TV. But don't put any ice on there because I'm still in charge.
Don't put any ice on that.
When she goes and she's watching TV with him and she kind of just like leans on him, like, that to me is like, that's one of those moments where like, we are all we have. Like, we know that. Mm-hmm. And that further backs it up when she's like, you fucking cocksuckers.
Yeah. I love that she cracked that kid in the head with a rock.
Oh, yeah. She fucking tries, man.
No, like, she fucking, like, that is like, this is street shit that I'm coming in hot, man, because I know I'm at an advantage as a smaller girl, and there's three of you already, so
yeah. I know, and she also when they find out that Robin is missing, like, Finn goes to her and asks her, can you try to have a dream, can you try to find him, and she fucking does friend. She tries so hard, and I just love that for her. She is the cutest.
But no, like I said, the thing that I love is when she cracked the kid in the head, he's bleeding everywhere, and he just sits out. He's like, okay, I'm on.
See, I love that too. I'm like, it's back when, like, at least it was respectable. Like, all right, I'm out. Like, I'm just gonna sit in the sides, and like you didn't, bleeding. And you were like, all right, we're both out. Like, you didn't fuck with each other, right? You're like, all right, whoever's still in it. Like, we're just.
I know. Somebody tell Kendrick that's the rules.
She realized it too when they kicked her in the
he's
mouth.
He's already dead.
She got kicked in the mouth, and she just goes back.
Yeah.
Like, and she sees him, and he's just kind of like there. He's like, that kid is concussed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kid has got fucking CTE right now, man. Yeah. Like, that kid grew up and he's fucking, I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna stop right now. I'm not gonna say.
Well, it just turned out.
It turned out bad.
Those other two kids were just more unloved than Gwynny and Finn.
Yeah. No, when they get into the science and he gets paired up with Donna and she's like, I wish me and my brother were that close. And I was like, Finn's gonna be like, oh, you guys aren't abused?
You aren't abused?
Okay. You guys are loved enough.
Have parents who love you?
You guys are loved enough that, you can hate each other as siblings?
You don't get yelled out for eating your cornflakes too loud?
Right.
Can I stay at your house?
I can't open the bread box too loud in the morning to get bread?
Yeah.
They're gonna hear you all the way in the fucking Boulder.
Like, you guys don't have that?
I'm sorry that I'm just existing, you piece of shit.
Just eating. I know that in the 70s, like, the grabber, because he was grabbing children, but the grabber to me sounds like a dude who's going around sexually assaulting women.
I just imagine
he's just walking around grabbing boobs and dicks.
I just imagine, like, he's just walking up to old ladies at the drugstore.
Yes. Just getting handfuls of whatever.
And then running, right? He's got like a weird mask or like something. And then fucking, I don't know why he's got like the detective fedora on.
I take him as a bad 70s Batman villain.
The grabber.
Batman, Adam West and Burt Ward have to take him on and have to stop him.
There you go. I dig that one. Yeah.
Holy crap, Batman.
Holy crap, Batman's the grabber.
He's been grabbing people again, Sean.
He's touching penises and vaginas everywhere.
We need to put a stop to the grabber.
I don't know why, but he likes to grab old ladies.
It's very weird.
grab my grandma.
Oh, when Finny gets dumped into that gross mattress, I'm just like, ugh. See, if I was ever in this situation, like, just be prepared that I'm going to drag you for my accommodations. I'm just going to be like, this is what you're bringing
I'm
gonna back
be
to?
Like, come on. I'm going to be a very unwilling abductee. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
A very whiny participant. I just want you to know.
Just dead weight. Just dead weight everywhere. You're like, you're gonna have to carry me. I'm not walking. I'm not doing any of that. I'm gonna make it very difficult for you.
I wrote down, if this movie took place here, it wouldn't be that the phone was working. It'd just be like, I don't know how to work this. The buttons don't push.
A rotary phone? What the hell is that?
And then I put down, like, they would just keep unplugging it. Like, I keep plugging it in, but it's not charged enough. Every time I pull it off, it doesn't work.
It'd be hilarious because, okay, if you look at their phone, like the phone jacks, like, here, take this cord.
Kids nowadays are like, what is that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's for the phone. Like, no, it's not.
It's in my hand.
The phone works fine. There's nothing in there. They also think that cell phone towers are, that's, what are those weird things growing on the tree?
I'm like, do you know they have cactus tower. Ones now?
Yeah, I've seen them.
I've seen the pine trees, the palm trees,
I've
and
seen
now
the
there's
pine
cactus.
Trees. Yeah, there's
I've
cactus.
Seen the cacti.
Yeah. Yes, it's very weird.
Yes, it is.
The line when they're still in the bathroom, we're bouncing all over the fucking place.
Yes, we are.
When they're in the bathroom and they're talking about the movies, Robin's like, yeah, my uncle takes me to the drive-in. We see everything. I was like, sometimes he leaves for hours and then comes back. He's like, I was with you the whole fucking time. This is what he asks. But he gives me free stuff. So
you're right.
Cool.
His uncle was there doing coke like everyone did in the 70s, letting the kid watch.
No,
I
figured it was that. Like, it's his alibi for crime spree. Or he's just in the back seat, like with some chick while he's in the front seat watching the movie.
Blood rage,
like, it's blood
like,
rage.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're just.
No, but see, it was opposite. Yeah. See? So
they
like,
had the decency to put the kids
so
in
like,
the
front. Yeah, like if you're in the front, the kids be like, I'm going to fucking watch this. Like Texas Chainsaw, holy shit, I'm gonna watch this. Yeah. Glue that kid to a rated R movie, like do whatever the fuck you want in the back seat. So his uncle's smart, like I get paid for babysitting, let me go to the movies, man.
Hell yeah.
I did love the masks that Ethan Hawke has in this movie because they do add, like, all the different ones add a different layer of creepiness.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Angie, because I am a huge fan of the person who did the masks.
Yes.
He is a graduate of Tom Savini's school.
Ooh.
He's nice. By the name of Jason Baker. He's done a ton of masks for the WWE. For the late great Bray Wyatt, he did his Fiend mask. For Eric Rowan, he did the Sheep masks. Another wrestler who died, Luke Harper, he did his mask too. So he's very, very well versed. And if you haven't looked up his work, he's got a Twitter and an Instagram, and he posts a bunch of his work, and it is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think you may have seen something way back in the day when COVID hit. He was the one who did that bottom half of Jason's mask.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember. That sounds like that name sounds familiar. Yeah. Where I remember because he was still.
He was still in school.
He was still in school. Like, he was getting ready to graduate. Yeah. He designed that.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember seeing that. I was everywhere. That name did sound familiar. That's awesome.
That's what I know him from. But from that, because I saw the masks initially, and I'm like, I know those. And I had seen interviews where in the background you see the masks from Black Phone. And then I'm like, that's where I know him from. Because when I looked up who did, I'm like, that's why they look so familiar. Because I hadn't seen the movie when I had seen him do other interviews. And he had all the masks in the background. But yeah, he is a very, very talented artist from Tom Savini's school.
Nice. Yeah, I think there's creepiness in their like slight subtlety. It's not like anything looks sharp, really. You know, like it's
in
not jagged
slight
and sharp.
Over exaggeration. Well,
it's smooth yet exaggerated.
Well, like
subtle.
The first one had the cone thing that came down.
Yeah,
but it had the only thing you could see was eyes. There was like no facial features at all, and it's like every different mask had a different sort of it. It highlighted something else.
Yeah.
And it's perfect that it was Ethan Hawke because, like, even with the different masks and, like, highlighting it, what you said, like, the different masks highlighted a different part of his tenderness.
Yeah.
But there was nothing tender about the scene. You know what I mean? Like, there...
Yeah.
And so, like, having it be tender adds another layer of weirdness and creepy and uncomfortableness to it.
I think what adds another layer of weirdness and creepiness is that shot of him sitting when he falls asleep in the kitchen with the mask on with no shirt. Yeah. I'm like,
that's dad bod now.
I'm like,
man,
that's the grabber right there. Yeah. He's grabbing the old ladies. And I'm like, that's.
I love that, obviously, I mean, Finn has to think out loud, obviously, because we need, as the audience, to
hear.
But I love when he starts talking about how, like, nobody could have got up there because Robin would have done it. Like, he starts actively trying to think.
Trying to rationalize and
think. Yeah. Like, thinking about what the other boys would do, which kind of gives him that other connection to the boys.
Yeah, and somebody would have figured that out already if they could have. Like, somebody would. Yeah, he has that moment where, like, he starts to cry a little bit. And he's like, "I'm gonna die." Like, yeah, he has this, like, moment of realization. Like, I'm gonna die. Like,
I'm not getting out.
Like, there's nothing I can do. Because, like, six people before or five people before me have not.
Because the strongest person that he knew, Robin.
Yeah. Or the two strongest people, at least, because he knew of Vance, obviously.
Yeah.
In their smallish town. Do you think that dad was too drunk or too white to be able to say Robin Arellano?
Too white.
Yeah.
Too white.
Because even sober, he was having trouble saying it.
And I don't think
he was
think he was too hard to say it. I think it was more of that air of whiteness. And I was like, I'm just not going to try.
There's too many R's together.
Yep, I can't roll it.
I don't know the rules.
Oh, I also put down when Robin's like, "Can you come help me with math? If I get an F again, I'm going to get suspended." And I was like, "Yeah, kid, you're falling behind in math, so we're going to make you stay home for a week and fall behind even further."
Yes, makes perfect sense.
I never got punishments like that in school. You're going to punish them by sending them home where they're away from learning. And again, like Paul said, you're just putting them further behind. It's like you're being counterproductive.
I find it, the fact that, like, we have Gwenny as, like, the premonition sister. Is just another.
Did you say Winnie?
Gwenny.
Oh, okay.
Not Winnie.
That's what I was
Winnie?
Like, what?
Winnie Cooper?
Gwenny. He calls her Gwenny. I think, or the dad calls her Gwenny, I think.
Yeah.
The fact that Gwenny is the premonition sister, I think that's one of those things that just, you didn't need it in this movie, but it adds another layer of just, like, weirdness, is like a weird element, because it's like, is she going to be able to help, or is it going to be too fucking late?
It cracked me up when she would do her little prayer.
I love
how she wanted, like, wanted the dream.
What the fuck, Jesus? I mean, like, what the fuck?
He's like, I slept and I didn't even have any fucking dreams. Like, what the hell?
I know, when she has a moment like, maybe you're not even real. And I was like, maybe the magic was inside of me all along. I equate that to, like, in Die Hard, you didn't need Bruce Willis's character to not have shoes, but it made everything more fucking difficult, right? And this is like, is this going to be something that helps them, or is it going to be too fucking late?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have no fucking clue with the premonitions, right? Because even she's like, they come, they go, I don't know, God's not real. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do, Dad. You're a drunk asshole, and maybe we should take my shit seriously, and maybe Mom wouldn't have killed herself. I don't know, Dad.
I love that Bruce is the first one to call Finny. Because it really gives him, like, okay, it's not super scary because it's somebody that you know. So it's like.
But at the same time, it's like, but I know you're dead.
But hey, you're in a basement with no way out.
It was weird how when they did call him, they didn't know who they were.
I thought that was interesting, too, because it's the first thing we lose.
That line was like, that's the first thing we lose. I'm like, that is the saddest fucking thing you could ever hear from, like, a child as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they were all children, even fucking Vance. We beat a cop, but he was still, you know, a teen or whatever.
He was an unloved, grumpy teen.
He was. He was like, I'm going to play pinball and I go home and get beat up.
And who was it? Was it Griffin who was like, that's not my name anymore? That's not who I am?
I think, like, no, the paper boy.
There you go, the paper
Tommy, I think his name.
Tommy's like, that's not who I am anymore.
Yeah, that's when he's like, we don't play games up here.
We don't play baseball.
The fuck, kid.
And then the subtlety.
You know, we're dead, right, dumbass? Because, we don't play fucking games.
Just like the first. When, what is it, you see that camera angle or that cut and you see the first dead kid right there, it's like, oh shit.
It was the paper boy when he's standing there, right?
Yeah.
I did want to mention that this story is a Joe Hill story, which is a Stephen King.
It is a
King's
short story.
Son.
Yes.
Yes.
Which makes me want to read the new short story because I do remember seeing that in the opening credits.
I did find it. I didn't get a chance to read it. I think it's only like 30 pages long.
Nice.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
I will say the leave the door open gag that the grabber plays on kids is fucking brutal.
Come on, man.
No child is going to not go.
You
like,
know.
And that's the thing that I love about the phone calls is they're warning him because they're like,
don't do it, kid.
Don't do it.
There's a man that's called the grabber upstairs with no shirt on and he wants to play naughty boy with you.
He wants to hit you.
Do I have to tell you again, Finny, do not go fucking upstairs.
And how he just baits him on everything too.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he says, what's your name? He's like, why? He's like, I know eventually because of the papers.
Oh, I know. I thought Finny, I was like, don't lie.
Don't fall for it, kid. He's like,
come on. You know like, papers exist.
It's been long enough that your info is out there. It's been at least a few days. I mean, I don't know when the timeline or anything, but...
Oh, when Finn takes the window bars down, he eats it hard.
Yeah.
I was like, ouch.
He got a little concussed in the front.
Yeah, that bar hits he went down hard.
Well, front of the bar hits his face, too, like in his forehead. So I'm like, he got it double, man.
And again, the grabber, the one thing you got to realize, too, is, okay, there's no cameras. There's nothing there. I think every once in a while you should kind of be peeking in on him, make sure he's still in there.
No, he does, because how many times does Finn wake up? Finn wakes up.
I just wanted to watch you sleep.
Yeah, I was like, what?
And I was like,
I wrote down, I just wanted to watch you sleep, and I put a camera in the toilet. What? Yeah, if this movie was today.
Yeah, that would have happened.
If that was me, though, the one thing I would have done first thing is try to flood that room with that toilet.
No, I wrote down when he starts digging the hole and throwing the dirt in there, I was like, I'm going to back up your fucking toilet. Or at the very least, I'm going to raise your fucking water bill.
By what, 83 cents?
You know, it's like the next month, he's like, my water bill's $20
or clog up the pipes and like fuck that.
I'm like, you may have had a septic system like that. I don't know how, but I'm sure that fucks shit up. Like you can't just have dirt in there, right? Like,
yeah.
Speaking of other irresponsible adults, back to the dad. When Gwenny goes to him and she's like, promise you won't get mad. I want to talk to you about something, and it's about my dreams. And he's like, God damn it. And he just takes like a giant drink of.
Like, hold on. He's like, hold on.
She gets to him, right? Like, she convinces him. And then he takes her out drunk driving around.
Yes. That's it. Like, it's like fucking like Arthur. Like, just, I'm going to drive around drunk. Let's go.
Like, he was like, sit down. I'm not going to be mad. So clearly like, he's already hammered. And then he took another giant drink and he's like, you know what? Get my keys. Let's get going. We're going to go find your brother.
Yeah, I got to talk to you. God damn it.
It's like that Rick and Morty meme. Son of a bitch, I'm in.
Fuck.
And then we see Eddie from It randomly.
Yeah. The brother was hilarious.
I love the brother. Max, I love him.
I nicknamed him Coke Detective Max.
He's just in between jobs right now. Give him some Coke in his brother's house.
Okay. I'm reading way too much into this, right? But I threw my whole backstory into this. When the grabber says to Finny in the basement, when he's looking at the phone or whatever, and he tries picking it up the first time, and he goes, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked since I was a kid. So I'm like, okay, then you either grew up in this house or it was somebody in your family's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you own the house across the street. So I'm like, these have to be like family homes of your, you know, mother or father sides. I'm like, I had this whole thing. I'm like, oh, dad taught you how to be a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
From the 50s. Dad went to World War II, came back.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Somebody.
A little screwed up.
Somebody.
The brother was hilarious though.
He couldn't express emotions unless he had his masks on. And I love that Finny not playing the game was making him more sad and sad. He's like, nothing's going right this time.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know.
Like, this one's broken.
Maybe I'll just
And Max has to do cocaine.
Yes.
And not have stable income.
What was that noise, Dad? Shut up, Max. The dogs are just barking at them. Go back to fucking bed, Max.
When Finny almost makes fucking it out, when Griffin calls him and gives him the bike lock combo.
Okay. But who does not put a zero when you're writing down a fucking combination?
You have a bottle cap, though. Okay, like, how
but
are you
make
gonna...
a zero. You can make a circle with the bottle cap on a wall. If you can make a fucking three or a two,
I suppose.
You can make a circle.
The thing that did bother
me. Okay, hold on. But he wasn't dead yet either, so it wasn't like he forgot the fucking combination.
Yeah.
Because he's like 23317. I'm like, where's the zero, bro? We're missing a digit here. This doesn't help anyone to try. And like, thankfully, Finney was smart enough to keep track of the ones that he tried. Because I'm like, there would have been other kids like, I don't. How does this work?
Would have tried the same one.
Like imagine telling one of our kids, go unlock this, and here's the number. Like, what do I do?
You know, my ass would have had to go back downstairs like four times to see the combo again. Because I would have been like, was it a four or a seven? I don't remember.
I would usually take a picture with my phone. I don't have a phone. Like, I don't know what to do.
All of our shortcomings have gone to shit because of phones.
Just running up and down.
I'm just going to stay. Obviously, I'm not going to make it out. I'm just going to not try this one.
Excuse me. You're snoring really loud. I'm trying to sleep down there and you left the door open.
I think you should just...
Excuse me, Mr. Grabber.
The one thing that I did get mad about Finney with is when he got out. Because he's running down the street and obviously...
Like, you scream, motherfucker.
Not just that, like, though.
You serpentine.
Yes.
Serpentine.
Yes. Like, yeah, no, I was like, turn around, run back the other way. He can't turn around that quickly.
When he came around with the van to cut him off, it's like, stop and run the opposite way.
Turn around.
Start screaming for fucking daylight.
Yeah.
Run and jump on top of the van on the roof and just lay down so he can't see you.
Because he did start screaming for help. Somebody turned the light on. Screaming for help as soon as I got out.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you heard the dog start barking, you knew you were fucked. You just start screaming like, the fucking grabber, the grabber.
Yeah.
The guy that grabs the old ladies.
God damn it.
Give me a shotgun, Doris.
I loved how each of the callers each had their own little...
Their
lines. Yeah, that...
Your arm was mint.
Yeah.
Bruce's.
Yeah.
But that they all kind of...
You don't have much time.
Yeah, that they all tied into later. I loved that.
Yeah.
Like, it's Vince, for you. Vince's, today's the day, motherfucker.
Today's the day, motherfucker. Yes. And I love when we get to see the other side of his phone call with Gwenny having her premonition about where the house is.
Yeah.
Or not having a premonition, when she was having when she was looking in the rain and she finally finds the other house when all the kids are stopping. She was first having that premonition where she was in the fucking.
That was when she was napping at school.
I wish I could take a nap at school.
Right?
I had this whole thing where it's like,
if your brother gets abducted by the grabber, then I guess
why don't you go take a nap, Queenie? And sweet. Like some other kid, like, can I go take... No, shut the fuck up, Chris. No one cares about you.
I was beaten by my dad all night. I want to go to the nurse's office.
Well, then you shouldn't want to walk if you're bruised. You should want to sit there and shut up, okay? But what... okay. She has that premonition, and she's just riding in the cop car with Vance, right?
Yeah.
And she's hearing every side of the other side of that conversation. So it's kind of like, I love that it's simultaneously like with her and giving her hints while he's also talking with Finney in real time or whatever. I do have to point out there was an old school slushy dog decal on the window of that convenience store when Vance was getting arrested. You see it in the background. Like the old school one with like the fucking beanie and like all that.
Yeah.
But Vance tells him to go through the freezer, and I have to ask the question, do we think all those steaks were beef?
I mean, he has been killing children. I'm no expert on human anatomy, but I don't know where you could get a T-bone steak from a human.
Fair.
So because I wrote down later, I'm like, that T-bone sure the fuck came in handy when he gives it to the dog to get out. I'm
and
like,
that
good
was
thing
the
you,
best part.
Good thing you threw that one out and let it defrost.
Like, right? Just let it go. That was the best part. The ending, this like when everything came together so beautifully, like even things you didn't even really think of like that. Just kind of came into play.
Now, was the freezer bolted to the ground? Because if that was me, obviously you can't open the door.
It must have been, or it must have been like a fucking just heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
Because it might have been, who knows how old that is. I mean, this is 78, so that could have been like his fucking mom and dad's, you know, 1950s lead freezer to fucking survive nuclear wars. And like, especially if it's, like I said, like if it's a family house that he's been there since he was a kid or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that, and the other thing, too, I'm like, you could have maybe hid in there. But, yeah, I mean, he ends up doing the Home Alone saw tricks, so.
Yeah.
I do love that.
That's right before when Finney breaks down and he's so defeated. That's it breaks.
My Robin heart. Calls.
Yeah, like that's
quick run. Oh, I wasn't crying.
He calls him for a pep talk. He needs a pep talk. He's so sad. It's...
Because I can't kill Higo de Puto myself.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck up. But what does he teach him that fight dance thing? Like step, then step back, then step again, then step back.
With,
go.
So he could hit him with the thing because Finney never fought. So Finney never knew like the back and forth motion of like an actual fight. So he didn't know the footwork.
I guess that that was a little too choreographed for me in the sense that I'm like, if I was fighting a kid as an adult, I would figure out your pattern, man. I grew up playing video games. I look for the patterns all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you're gonna step back, and I'm gonna punch you right in the fucking face because I know your pattern. But when he breaks his fucking ankle,
yes. That great comes in. Another thing that just like perfectly.
Which I'm surprised the grabber never noticed the grate.
I know,
missing.
I was as well.
That's what I'm saying. Is like you would think it's like okay.
He said nothing's going right this time.
He's like, he's asleep, and you would think he'd be snooping around. Like, what has this kid been up to?
Well, Griffin also does say the grabber hasn't been sleeping. So if he hasn't been sleeping either, then I'm sure he's just in a
and
fog.
Then Max is around doing coke, so Max is sleeping.
Max is way up, and fucking he's tired as shit and have to entertain or deal with fucking Max and the dog barking.
I love the scene when it hits the brother when he's like,
oh.
He does that line of coke, and then he's like.
The cocaine line transition. I don't know if it was that scene or if it was a different scene, but he does. I think it was the scene maybe after the cops were there, but he does a line of coke and it just follows him down to the table and then it just keeps going down in the basement to Finney.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love that transition.
Yeah. Because you realize he's in the fucking house.
Yeah. And I just think too, because I'm like, okay, you knew your brother had two houses, bro. Like, you could have been like, wait. He would need to. It's my brother.
I just love how he has that moment of clarity because he's sitting there looking at the, map of all the stuff where it was, and he's just like,
oh. I could just finally piece it together. Like, it just needed that quintessential fucking light bulb, go off. Right?
Like he's the acting of it, the face, this like
he's so good at it. Like, that's even him. Like every single fucking character actor that was cast in this movie is fucking excellent. Like even like I've never seen the principal in anything, but she was like Gwendolyn Blake. I'm like she did the part great.
The cops were
cops. Yes, the cop like the black cop. I don't remember. He's been in a million fucking movies, but like the other cop too. Like I don't remember his name, but you can see them and you'd be like, he's been in this movie, that movie. Like I'm sure if we look at their IMDb, hundreds of fucking movies. But like,
I just love that because
everyone was great in this movie.
Because you see everything just click with him. He's like, no, and then you could see the hamster wheel turn.
Yeah,
because he's like. That's why
the coke hit and the hamster's like, what the fuck? It's right in front of you, Mara!
You see it turning and he realizes that's why he's been so agitated lately. That's like everything just starts, like you see the lines start, like the dots start to
connect. When he just like slowly opens it, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
oh. Yeah.
Do you want to know how I saw them? Like, not now!
You know as he's opening that door and it's not all the way. You knew. Yeah, you're like, no. Turn
God
around.
Damn it.
Turn
the
around.
Thing about it, though, is like, even when he says that, like, you want to know how I figured out, and you do see Finney's... Uh-huh. You see Finney going from, like, I'm saved to all of a sudden, like, you see the slow change.
Yeah.
You see the slow change because then you realize the brother's coming... Like, the grabber's coming back down and the axe to the head.
Hey, you made me kill my brother.
I love the end scene because it's such that build up and you get the payoff. So it's the grabber walks in and he's like, and I want this to really hurt. And then like it plays out so well.
The way that he gives that little inflection, he's like, I want this to really hurt. Just the way he gives that little inflection, I'm like that. Like, you know, it's both like it's the fucking pain and pleasure that he gets from being the grabber.
Yeah.
And I think this is his payoff for all these things. And I think it led up to like, you know, you haven't been a naughty boy. I haven't had a reason to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think in the very beginning when Finn's there and he's talking to him and he's like, you're the grabber. He's like, you're the one that killed those other boys. And he's like, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. And I'm like, he has that thing where he's like, that was the bad man.
Yeah. Well, I think
I'm not going to make you do anything.
I think ultimately it was he tested all these kids.
Yeah.
To make them kill him.
Because if you're a naughty boy.
Yeah. And Finney was doing everything because of how he was.
Finney was a good kid.
He wasn't doing anything. Because, yeah, he had all these other chances. And then the one thing that I think finally was like, when he made it, when he said the thing that you said, where he's like, I want this to really hurt, is because Finney, in essence, made him kill his own brother.
Yeah. I think because there's that. Finney didn't play the game. Yeah. You know, finally, yeah. He's been itching. And he can't murder.
Yeah, you finally gave me the reason to do it.
He's got his own rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, what you said, the ankle-breaking thing is rough. But then when Finney wraps the cord around his neck, but then the phone fucking rings, and he's like, I love that part.
Because he just...
And then all the little boy, all the kids get
Then all their moments. One-liners get thrown in together.
Yes. And I loved it. I love giving them all that last little, like, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Like, this... Like,
it just, wasn't just Finney that got it.
It's almost like
out.
They were all like, this was all of us, motherfucker.
Well, even Bruce, like, when Bruce calls him, he's like, I'm glad it's you. Like, it almost
But that's the thing, too.
To me, it almost seemed like we're glad, like... You can get us out. Like, you can help us. Like,
we're glad you're going to be the one to defeat him. Yes. Yeah, I get that. But I'm like, as Finn, I'm like, what the fuck do you mean you're glad it's me, asshole? I don't want to fucking die.
What do I do to you?
I don't want to cry. You're glad it's me. Fuck you.
When Gwen brings the cops and she's just like, they're looking in that house and she's just sitting outside. I'm like, clearly nobody's watching this child.
Watching her. Because I'm like, and then the danger's actually behind her.
I know, and then the cops run out and they're like, fuck, there's a dude over there.
Is that? Wait, what? That's the fucking kid we're looking for.
That's the kid we're looking for. Like, apparently he was in that house.
Did you guys notice that when she was running around on her bike in the rainstorm that she was wearing the Georgie.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Georgie raincoat.
Her galoshes and her raincoat. Yes. Oh, the very end cracked me up the other night when we watched this. I've watched this a few times now, but the other night we watched this, I noticed that at the end when they're doing the pullback after everybody's been saved and everything, it's the newscasters and they're like, we're going to hand this over to the two men who broke this case. And I was like, we're going to hand this over to hounded a kid about her dreams until she finally pointed the house at them.
I know, because even when he gets up, like, okay, you know, here's the facts. I'm like, how do you explain that? Or how do you put that in a report? Like, the victim's daughter or the victim's sister told us that she had a funny feeling about this one house.
Well, it all started with Bruce Yamada. Apparently, she had had a dream about a very key detail in the case. So,
and obviously, you've had to like tell someone, or you know, someone you know higher up than you as a detective knows that you've had to look at this lead and be like, why does this little girl know about the balloons? We didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
So, because they in the beginning they were like, either there's a leak, or she's like, oh, what? I'm the grabber. You dumb fucking fart knocker.
I love that she does that.
I know. She's such... I love her. We need to see her in more things. Everything.
He got Vance Hubbard. He kicked the shit out of you with blindfold on.
Like, Gwendolyn.
Again, my daughter. If I had one. And again, you don't need this, but it just makes the fucking story stronger that the dad, when he comes up and sees them, he just has this moment of fucking like reckoning and like penance where he's like, I'm sorry that I was such a piece of shit.
I won't drink no more.
It's like, you get that. It was just like, I'm not going to beat you for having dreams. I'm going to pay attention now and stop spending
$8. Make noise in the morning. It's okay.
Like, we're going to be a real family again. Yes. I might even start digging. No, you're not.
I'm going to find you a new mom is what's going to happen.
That's not what we want, Dad. We just want you to stop drinking.
Hopefully she'll have some kids of her own for you guys to play with. No, that's not what we want.
The house is not big enough for us now. Just drink, Dad. Just...
what
we can do.
The thing you got to love, too, is when he walks into that school, like, full of confidence because he...
That's the kid that made a grab.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in the background. Like
he's hot. Smaller than I expected him to be.
Yeah, because, that's totally...
Are you sure it was him?
And I'm just like, why are you back in school? At least wait till the next year.
I'm hoping this wasn't, like, the next day. I'm hoping this was
that's what I'm hoping for, either. It's like...
And I know it's the 70s, but, I mean, I don't think counseling was a big deal, but I'm hoping at least they send him to, like, three therapy sessions.
You just went through all this trauma.
Come on. It's like, at least three.
We can only give you three sessions with... a counselor.
You've been held out for almost maybe a month, if that.
Are they like a doctor?
Right.
They're a counselor.
They're a counselor.
You've been rescued, and now you got to go back to school tomorrow. Like, wait, what?
And that's all you would need in the 70s, too. It could be like, oh, you're gonna see the counselor. You'll be fine.
No, and imagine
But, like, what's a counselor? Like, is it a doctor? No, it's a counselor. And no one would question if you're like, yeah. We just called them a counselor. They counsel people who've been through traumatic events.
And imagine Finn having a conversation with his dad. Be like, I'm not going to school, Dad. And his dad being like, well, you can't stay here alone. I'm like, why? Because I might be kidnapped?
Yeah. I've been there.
That's going to happen, Dad.
Like, it's happened before.
Touch me again, I'll fucking kill you.
I've murdered a dude.
Okay, wait. But here's the thing. Did he die? Because they're making a sequel.
I heard it's a prequel.
Is it a prequel?
Because that's the one thing that Kim told me, is that they were making a sequel. I'm like, how?
If it's a prequel, I can see that.
Yeah.
If not, I'm like, is he not dead?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we get to see him abduct some other kids or something. But I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much. But.
If it's a prequel, I can see it. But if it's a sequel, then yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, the cops in this town were not very great, so maybe it's a Jason or a Freddy.
Yeah,
not a Freddy Jason. I meant maybe it's a Michael Myers situation where they took him to the hospital and he just reanimated.
they fixed his ankle and gave him some Thorazine, and now he's fine.
They just pumped him for full of that Thorazine.
We just got a new shipment of Thorazine.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes. 50 milligrams of Thorazine.
Yes.
On the hour, every hour.
That's what Dr. Loomis would have wanted.
Yeah.
That was the Black Phone.
Drop this one off in Denver. We're going to get to Haddonfield in the morning.
We love Black Phone. It is a great movie. Ethan Hawke is very creepy in his masks. Bravo. All involved.
Yes.
This was a taller than him.
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah, he's not a very tall guy. He's tiny.
I saw him on the street at South by Southwest, and I was waiting for a different movie.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saw the
talking
story.
About something. I don't know.
Is he like 5'7", something like that.
I think he's like 5'10" at least.
Terry Crews is also not as tall as you would expect.
Yeah. Nobody is.
Nope.
When you see them and you realize that, you're like, you seemed taller, but you're not.
I think like I also seem like they're more adults than me, but they're not.
I'm convinced, and I think I tell my children on almost a daily basis, like, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
No.
Just because someone's older than you doesn't mean shit. Like, you're stupid just like everybody else. I think if you get to a certain age, you're like, I'm smarter than you and I always will be. Certain people. And there's like,
it's people you work with. They're not
Oh, no. Here's what I came up with today. I said something. Somebody did something wrong at work, and I took a screenshot and I showed somebody else so we could laugh at them behind their back, right?
As you do in work culture.
I go, I don't know this person very well, but this is like aggressively inaccurate. And I was like, that is my new corporate way of saying that somebody is dumb. Like, they are aggressively inaccurate. A lot of the time.
Yes.
Well, and see, I'm a woman, so I have to be more subtle. So when people say something's wrong, I just drop incorrect in the situation. In the
aggressively
sentence.
Inaccurate is not that
incorrect.
Mean. I don't know.
Not
I
right.
I don't think so. That is false, and it always will be.
Yes.
All right. Well, we will see you again
soon. I'm not going to see any of you.
Yeah, we're not seeing people.
We'll see you in our mind's eye.
You will hear us.
I'll be spying on you in your dreams.
You will hear us.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Black Phone.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The Curse of the Black Phone. It's a pirate movie now.
Yes.